This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 16th, episode 1320. What? Brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Santa, what's shaking, man?
Dancing through the snow.
By the way, congratulate me this Christmas. I'm going for it. No antidepressants.
Somebody ought to teach that little humbug some Christmas spirit.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I did that for all of us who have not started their shopping yet.
Oh my gosh. See, it is Christmas all crazy in my house because my son has learned at 2.5 what the movie Polar Express is. And so he doesn't want to watch Polar Express. He wants to watch Train, because he's 2.5. And for some reason, they just love trains. You saw the whole Thomas the Train thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
He loves trains. So, I mean, he's a 2.5-year-old boy. It's like, train! So we've watched, I think Polar Express has been on a loop in my house for the last week since I recorded it.
That's a scary movie in some places, too. And I've watched him watch movies, and he gets all tense, and he squeezes his little fists. And
I know! It's terrifying to me! And he just loves it. I think he loves the intent. And then when Santa comes on, Santa! So... yeah, good times.
Hey, I'll tell you what other people love. I read an article, I think it was Daily Mail, about the flood of naked calendars for charity.
Really?
There are over 1,000 naked calendars. By the way, I want the listeners to know how much I suffer for them and how much research I had to do on this particular story make sure it was accurate, because we wouldn't want to report anything that's not accurate.
Yeah.
So
never do that.
No, never. So there are over 1,000. And this all started a couple years ago in the horse world with a polo club. Well, and it was so funny because I just finished reading that article, and then Horse and Hound did an article on the naked calendars that are available in the horse world. So there's Hunks and Horses. We know about that one. We've had it on the show. The Royal Holloway Polo and Royal Holloway Riding Club, they're the ones that really started it years ago with the naked calendars. Now the De Montfort University Equestrian Society has one. And by the way, I did not look at that one closely. Not at all. The Towcester Vets have their own naked calendar, which I saw one of the pictures was disturbing.
Hold up. The Towcester Vets. Wow. That's... you don't want to see your vet naked floating.
No.
You just
you
don't.
You see that picture?
It's disturbing. Oh, my God. Yeah. Horse and Hound is where you can see these guys.
Yes. Jennifer could post a link. The Berwickshire Hunt had one. And then one called Foxy Hunters.
Oh, my God.
Which, because they're actually hunting in the Foxy Hunters calendar, there's no, you know, like hand brawl thing going on in that one. And then there's the Portman Hunt. So it seems like hunts have really taken to the naked calendars this year. Jennifer, you worked at a very exclusive hunt. Could you imagine them doing a naked calendar?
Every level, that couldn't happen.
No.
No. Think about the age demographics of people who fox hunt. No.
I'm sorry. The last place I would want a camera is when I'm jumping a big fence and the camera is from behind.
From behind.
And I mean, there's just nothing good about a woman's butthole. Like, it's just not. Gross.
Yeah, so, and then apparently the highest influx of naked calendars this year, it truly has become a thing, according to the article, was colleges and universities, the rowing teams and the, you know, all the different teams, cheerleading squads and all of those. So
if I'm naked and I'm walking through a pasture, I do not want to have a hay bag thrown over my shoulder. Do you know how itchy that would be?
You saw the other picture? Yes, oh, it would be. You'd have a rash for a week.
Can't make it up.
Obviously, photographers that are not horse people go, hey, look, it'd be really cute.
I like the hunks and horses. That's good. That's a good one.
Jennifer, if you could kindly post that link for the benefit of all the other horse husbands out there. And women, because, you could see your vets naked. Who doesn't want to see that?
Oh, God. I dated a vet, and I wouldn't want to see him naked at work.
And speaking of naked, you'll have to tune in next week. We recorded the All Host show last night, and that nakedity was one of the topics. So
nudity, honey.
Yeah, I made a new word up. It's a new word.
And I was the only one who like went on the dirty level, and nobody responded, and I felt kind of stupid. So...
Big surprise apparently, there, Jamie.
Apparently, Would You Rather is not a drinking game for most people.
You know, it started with Would You Rather Do So-and-So or So-and-So, right? I mean, that's really how it started.
Right. Yes. And I came up with a Who Would You Rather Do, and nobody responded. Like, I think I made people uncomfortable. Shocker. That Shocker. Girl making people uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. That never happens. Not on our show. Oh, Jennifer, God. What's coming up?
Coming up on today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we've got some hair eyebrow-raising horsey headlines, a controversy-infused Facebook post, and a spoiler alert. And then mid-show, Dr. Waldridge is going to help bring us a wound care reality check. Get your ew on. Ugh. And in the third half of the show, Glenn is going to throw down the Why Do We Ride Gauntlet? So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right. Daily Winnie. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to one of our very cool listeners. We have the best listeners in the world. And Megan, I think it's pronounced Aline, maybe?
Aline?
Aline? Well, Megan, if we're screwing up your last name, we apologize. But Megan was kind enough to make us some sippy cups for that's what they are, right? Sippy cups. She made us some sippy cups that are so cool. We posted a picture of them on Facebook. Mine says, and the graphics are very, very well done. Mine says horse husband has a little pitchfork and a wheelbarrow, and then Coach Jen is in the middle looking all sophisticated riding with a little doggy, and then there's that girl, Jamie, who appears to be jumping very poorly over a fence is the one that kind of looks like, or leaping or bucking. I'm rearing. I'm not sure what that graphic is.
I think it's an up.
I'm going with bucking.
One. Bucking.
Yeah. I'm with bucking.
They know you so well, Jamie. They really do.
I thought I just chipped into an up bank. Which you're supposed to get deep to an up bank. I mean, come on. Thank you, Megan. That's so
that
cool. And
so
they're not
cool.
Sippy cups. They're more like travel coffee mugs.
Yes, travel coffee mugs. That's a better... That's a better name for them than sippy cups.
There's no, like, you know, it's not a no spill.
I don't know a lot about sippy cups, but you do. So she said her mother and her started a craft business earlier this year, and they wanted to make us something because your awesome work that you guys do for the listeners. Well, we really appreciate it. I want to give her a plug, too. She said the craft business is called Two Line Jump. And she said if you search on Facebook, you'll find Two Line Jump. And I posted a link to it, too. To the Facebook page on our Horses in the Morning page with a picture of the mugs. So that's so cool. We have the best listeners. We really do.
It couldn't be superstar, Jamie. Not super awesome, Jamie. It's that girl. Like,
that girl. That's your awesome. New spy girl name, by the way. Your James Bond spy name is That Girl Jennings.
And I'll have that girl story for you later today. How about that?
Okay. That's a big surprise.
Yeah. My Daily Winnie goes out to Victor Espinoza. I hope that he wrote this because the internet said he did. So why wouldn't he? But he wrote a letter to Sports Illustrated. And it turned out, you guys, after Monday's show, that we were not the only ones mad about this whole Serena Williams, American Pharoah, Sports Illustrated nonsense.
Us and about 10 million of our horsey friends.
Oh my gosh. Like even non-horsey people, I posted some comment, like a comment on the Sports Illustrated page. And I think it got by the end of the day, like 10,000 likes. because I kind of what I said to you guys on the show. But then it also got 10,000 comments and I had to stop reading them because they're making me feel so bad about myself. Like, wow, I'm a horrible person trying to defend women and their, you know, and horses. Oh God, people are so mad at me. But I just quit reading them. Anyway, I know I have you guys and you love me. Dear Sports Illustrated, this is a letter from Victor Espinoza. I am disgusted with you. You promoted an online poll for Sportsman of the Year title. You placed American Pharoah in the poll, and he earned 47% of the votes. All other contenders fell far behind. But when the 14th of December came around, you decided to give the award to someone who earned only 1% of the total votes. American Pharoah was the first horse to win the Triple Crown in 37 years, becoming only the 12th horse to ever do it. This was a feat many believe could no longer be done. On top of this, Pharoah won the Breeders' Cup by 6 lengths on Halloween, making the first horse ever to win the Grand Slam. Whilst winning the race, he set a new track record. He ran unchallenged with his ears pricked forward the whole way, yearning to hear the crowd cheer for him through his earplugs. American Pharoah drew new fans to the sport and compelled old ones to watch again. For many, it was the first time they had ever seen the Triple Crown won. For others, it will be the last. I personally believe that Serena Williams is an amazing woman, but the world spoke and we wanted American Pharoah. All but 4 states had American Pharoah as their most voted nominee. The 4 that didn't voted for the Kansas City Royals. He was the most voted on for the entire whole continent of North America. But saying that he didn't win the award because he is not a sports person is infuriating. The award was originally titled Sportsman, but you changed it to Person when a man didn't win. If he wasn't eligible, why nominate him in the first place? The world may never see another Grand Slam winner in horse racing, but Grand Slams happen in tennis and other sports all the time. Honestly, now remember, this is Victor Espinoza. Honestly, I'm not even mad that he was beaten. I'm angry because you continued to mock and make fun of horse racing fans and the sport itself. Posting articles asking if people even knew which horse was American Pharoah was low. You have encouraged the sport to become a laughingstock. Twitter is filled with people making rude remarks about the sport. Thankfully, many people have ended their subscription to your magazine due to your comments about him being just a horse, air quotes, just a horse. I hope many more continue to do the same thing. We all now know where you stand on our sport. Bam! Mic drop. Walk off, Victor.
I'll tell you what. If anybody has a Sports Illustrated, if your husband does, just cancel that sucker. You don't need it. I must have read 1,000 articles this morning, and they were on both sides. You know, oh, a horse can't win. You know, that argument was out there.
Well, why put it on there?
I know. I agree. I'm not arguing with you. And then the one that pissed me off the most was, you know, when something like this happens and we happen to disagree with, you know, somebody that was picked to win and, you know, posed in a Playboy-like shoot on the cover and they happen to be black, it became racist. Even on your thing, which didn't even talk about race or women or anything, just that, you know, that American Pharoah had won the vote and probably should have won this whole thing. And then all of a sudden it became a race thing that we hate black women.
No, mine was you just hate women in general. I'm like, wait.
Well, first of all, let's stop with the whole black thing in sports. They own sports right now. Okay, there you can't find a white basketball player. You can't hardly find a white football player. This is not even a conversation we should be having anymore. So let's throw that out. They're really good at sports. I don't even know why we're having that conversation. The reason we're having that conversation now is because it's an easy go-to for people. If they don't agree with you and it happens to be about an African American person, they go there. Well, we can't go there anymore in sports. They own sports. So let's throw that one out. The fact that she's a woman, I don't get that one either. You know, women have been excelling in sports. There's been some very famous women athletes here recently. I don't even think that's a consideration. The consideration is they put them in there, and then it's what he said. They came out and really mocked the whole horse thing. They themselves did that. Bizarre.
It just wasn't handled very well.
I'll tell you what it was. They put him in there. Sorry, I'm on a rant. They put him in there And they never, ever expected him to get any votes. And then when the one they knew they were going to pick, Serena, was last place, you know, like in 12th place. I think she was like last place.
She was last. Yeah.
Yeah. They had already made their bed. So they had to lie in it. And now it's come back to bite them in the ass.
Well, you know, I just, in the whole general realm of things, we have an amazing horse that was a Grand Slam winner, and Sports Illustrated can just suck it. Like, to me, Sports Illustrated matters zero. Like, I mean, I just feel like they disrespected the horse and the sport of horse racing and the American public who voted, and they ask everybody to vote. And we all went and voted and we talked about it. So you know what? American Pharoah is obviously the winner, and Sports Illustrated matters zero to me ever again.
Well, you know, the other thing too, if we look at it from the business point of view, I am sure they had a conversation in a committee, like they do at magazines that size. They had a committee conversation and they said, you know, we know that probably 1% or less of our subscriptions are horse people or even related to horse people. So who gives a crap? We're not going to lose that much business if we do this. And I am sure that was a conversation. How many people do you know that get Sports Illustrated anymore? First of all, you know, unless the swimsuit edition comes out or happens, we don't even remember it's a magazine because we're not in that world.
Well, the objectification of women with that magazine and the entire history of the magazine is out of control. So it's like, okay, let's give the award to a woman. See, now I'm getting ranty because you just wouldn't drop
it.
So this whole thing of we're going to give it to a woman, it's going to be the first woman in 30 something years who's going to win Sports Person of the Year. Okay, let's get her in lingerie and high heels and, you know, laying across a chair in a sexual pose like the cards you get handed on the streets in Vegas. And I just, and maybe that was her choice. Great.
Well, that's so what they said. They said it was Serena? Her choice, but they could have said no.
Here's Serena. We're going to encourage young girls to just really pursue their dreams and be amazing tennis players. And here's how you need to end up being famous, young girl. You need to spread your legs on the cover of a magazine wearing nothing but your underwear. Like, I'm sorry. Shame on her. Shame on them. My God, I've got to move on because I'm just getting mad and it's getting hot in here. And I just, let's move to something a little more peaceful, like the freaking Voice. Are you kidding me?
All right, let's do a spoiler alert here. The Voice winner was announced last night. Jamie watches it religiously. And I actually have watched almost the whole thing on YouTube videos. I can avoid all the other stuff. I just watch them actually singing. So this is a spoiler alert. We are going to be talking about who's the winner. Turn us off for 5 minutes and come back if you have not watched it yet. All right, go ahead.
So the Voice, the guy who won, Jordan, is amazing. He's got an incredible voice. It's not my style, not what I like, not who I voted for. He basically sang a lot of very religious music, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but I lean more towards country, you know. So I really liked the sweet little girl who Emily Ann, who came in second.
I kind of like her too, by the way. I thought she was going to win the thing.
I thought so too. Well, you know, Jordan, who ended up winning, excuse me, when you sing a song, it's available on iTunes right after. And so every time somebody downloads one of those, it counts 10 votes. Well, his song that he sang, one of the ones that he sang a couple weeks ago, actually dethroned Adele and Hello for like the week on iTunes.
And you know what? I was just going to say, I have seen him posted more on Facebook than anybody else.
Yeah. I was listening to the local, I was driving yesterday and I was listening to just the local radio news. I listen to talk radio and they were talking about him. Like he already won. So it was no surprise that he won just because he had so many downloads and people just loved him. So congratulations to him. I would buy an Emily Ann record for sure. I just thought she was fantastic. I also loved Amy Vashel in the whole thing. She's like the kind of sultry soul singer, kind of like, I don't know. I liked her too. So there were a lot of, I mean, everybody on this show is so dang good.
He did, I know he was it last night he did the Mary Did You Know?
That was Monday night.
Jordan Smith, that was beautiful. I mean, he did, you know, I think he picked, you know how they always say they pick the right songs? You know, it's all in the song choice. Well, I think with him, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, he did great, and he picked some very, you know, in a world that's had some issues and all this, he picked some very uplifting songs during this whole thing. So he is just an incredible vocalist. So congratulations to Jordan. He is the winner, although I can't wait for Emily Ann's record. I think she's going to be the next Carrie Underwood. Like Chad was like, she's got the look, she's got the voice, she's just amazing. And I'm like, hey, babe, she's 17. Back off.
Is that all the older she is? 17?
She is 7 freaking teen years old.
So which judge won? Which team won?
So Adam Levine was the
winner.
Hasn't
he won a lot?
He won a lot at the beginning, then kind of Blake took over, and then Pharrell won last season, and then so we're back over to actually. I don't know. Blake won last season, might not be back next year. Pharrell won, really?
Yeah, that's an article I read yesterday. Oh, and can I also is there something we can do that's like an anti Daily Winnie, like the exact opposite?
We need to come up with something. Like the Daily Horse Kick.
Yeah,
something.
Well, here, I'm going to do this sound effect for Howard Stern.
He's so Howard Stern.
Well, because Howard Stern's contract is up for renewal, by the way, he makes $80 million a year working for Sirius. The highest paid radio personality in the world. His 5-year contract is up. He's not sure he's going to renew it, but he does this every time to get another $20 million increase. First, and I also didn't realize that SiriusXM is making a ton of money right now. Remember a couple years ago, they were just broke and about to go out of business? Well,
yeah.
Apparently they're highly profitable now, and they don't want to lose Howard. So I think that, you know, they'll do anything they can to get him back. But a lot of his fans were saying, well, you could do just online radio or something like that. Well, there's this article that was written about Howard, and he was quoted in it as saying, and to all my fans, I am not doing podcasts. Podcasts are for losers. So that's,
oh my God.
That's why Howard gets that. Just saying. Although I will say,
he gets this too.
Loser and his losery $80 million can just go.
Although I will say this to our fans, Jamie and I, for $80 million, would give up podcasting in about 30 seconds, and we could go in there and sit with half naked women talking about sex for an hour and a half a day. I could do that. I'm just saying.
No, you couldn't.
For $80 million, a year.
Yeah, $80 million.
Yeah, $80 million a year, I could do that. I think you could even do that for $80 million a year. You could be my Robin.
Yeah. Now, Glenn, moving on. So I had a little bit of a that girl moment, and I don't want you to put this, Jennifer, you know, when you put the like what we did on the show and it post on Facebook. Don't post this conversation just because. But if you guys remember the whole Norman drama, I had a pre-purchase done on Norman.
Right.
I haven't had a horse pre-purchased since I was like 11 years old. And my
most of us that buy $200 horses don't.
Yes. But see, I was buying this 17-2 hand, and I know that they come with some problems sometime, and I was trying to be responsible, and I was trying to buy, you know, an upper level event horse. I wanted to go training prelim with this horse, and that's why I got it pre-purchased. Well, clearly the horse had a heart condition that the veterinarian did not pick up. Now, this pre-purchase cost me $400, and I was, when I got the bill, I was like, what, why was this? Because we didn't take any x-rays. We had, the previous owner had x-rays from, you know, a year ago. So I just used those. I mean, so I went like bottom of the barrel pre-purchase, like didn't do x-rays of his brain. I just, you know, let's do some flexions. Let's put him on a circle. Let's make sure he's not lame. And then we'll go. Well, I've talked to a couple vets, and they all said, when you are pre-purchasing a horse for a sport like eventing, like upper level eventing, when you're pre-purchasing a horse for endurance or racing, you need to listen to that heart while it's moving. So you need to actually lunge the horse and then listen to the heart. I've never really had a horse pre-purchased like this, and we never did many as when I was a vet tech, so I didn't know what to expect. It's not my job. Well, let's just go ahead and say that a horse that I had pre-purchased, and the pre-purchase cost me $400, the husband stepped up and was like, yeah. Uh-oh. He was pretty mad.
Did he call the vet?
Oh, he wanted to. He's been stewing about it for a while. I was like, just let it kind of like give yourself a little time here. And he just got madder about it. I've thought, well, you know what? I need to call.
Can I just ask a question before you finish that? When he gets mad like that and calls, does he then use his title and say, this is Lieutenant Colonel?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
Because I would so do that. I would so use that.
No, he doesn't get mad, so I can't even say. He's not that kind of guy, though.
I would be using that everywhere. just sounds
my
important.
Name is Lieutenant Colonel. Glenn.
That's right. I'd be
oh,
using
my gosh. No, he doesn't.
He's so fired from the military. Go ahead.
he doesn't. I thought maybe, he's very composed and he's very cool, but I've never seen him mad like this. And he's like, I'm going to burn a bridge. Now, mind you, that the reason this is not my regular vet who did the pre-purchase. It's my veterinarian was out of town when I needed this horse pre-purchased during that entire week that I had him on trial, because I even had this horse on trial. So I had to hire a different vet. So I called the veterinary clinic Friday afternoon, and they were like, well, we'll talk to her over the weekend. And I just said, listen, I'm not trying to get my money, because I'm out thousands of dollars at this point. When you buy a 17 two-hand horse, they don't come with all the tack for a 17. You know, there's blankets and boots and all these things that I had to buy. They're different. So I called the vet and I'm like, hey, I need my money back. That did not go very well. Needless to say, I proceeded, she called me back on Monday, and I proceeded to kind of get yelled at for like 10 straight minutes. And I just took it.
Are they yelling at you?
Yes. Well, I don't feel like I did anything wrong. And I think
was this
that,
the vet, you know, or the business manager?
The vet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because I basically was accusing her of not doing her job, and she did not take that very well. And I was very polite and I was very nice. And I mean, nothing's going to happen when if you get elevated at somebody, they're just going to get elevated at you, and it's not going to get anything done. So I proceeded to hear, this could have happened in the last 4 months. And I said, well, yes, you're very right. It very well could have happened in the last 4 months, but we'll never know because you didn't initially check it. And that didn't go very well. And then it proceeded to go on ripping my current vet who discovered the heart condition. I was like, okay, there's some bad blood there. Like, that didn't go so well.
Usually they don't do that to each other.
Well, you get a couple women involved, I think. I don't know. Women get emotional. So we have those vets kind of got mad at each other, and I don't know what happened. And I guess, I don't know. And then it proceeded to kind of go all the way down to, well, if you want your money back and that's going to make you happy, I'll just have them cut you a check. And I was like, okay.
I love that last tactic, because it's like, I'm going to make you feel guilty for wanting your money back.
That's exactly what it was. If you want your money back, then that's fine. I'll just have them cut you a check if that's what you want. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
That'd be great. I was so calm and cool and everything. You've been so proud of me, Glenn. Be so proud. I did get a text yesterday saying that it'll be at least another month before I get
I'm sure it will. They're hoping you. Now the next tactic is, we hope you forget about it. That's the next tactic.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I can't even give you the that girl sounder, because I think you should have done that. That was not a that girl. That was a proud of you moment.
Thank you. I was quite proud of myself, too, and especially being
so calm. Oh, you should have let the Lieutenant Colonel call and taped it, though. That would have been so much better.
That would never have happened. I just thought this is, and then he does, and she's going to start throwing medical terms, and he's not going to know what to talk about. He's just going to get mad, and he's again very nice person, but I don't know.
He's the most calm. He's a fighter pilot. He has to be calm and cool, collected.
He'd either gotten really mad or he'd have backed off. And I was like, Let me just handle it. So I was that girl who called and handled it. I'm proud of myself.
I am proud of you too. Congratulations. And look, you got the mission accomplished. And you know what? Heart conditions like that, I'm sorry, they don't crop up in 4 months. No. That's something that horse has had forever, which explains all of the things he was sold for in the first place. The reasons he was sold for in the first place. So, yeah, you insulted her. You bruised an ego there, which is what happened. They don't care about the $400. It's the ego.
No, I think that was... The conversation went on, like I said, for quite some time, and I mainly just sat there and at the end was like, yes, I'll have it. I was very proud of myself. I will let you know when I ever get to see that money.
Don't
you know, my current vet, I called her and I was like, just so you know, they don't really like you very much. She was like, yeah, I know.
Half the battle you were fighting there.
Yeah. And she goes, she said, I'm really sorry. Probably a lot of that had to do with me. I guess she used to work for the clinic. So it is a lot of drama between women that I had no involvement in, but I was faced with. And she did say that at least they didn't give you store credit. at least they didn't offer you just credit. I'm like, I don't think they'd offer me credit because I think that my horse could be laying on the ground with a broken leg and they'd be like,
you want to put it down? Here's the shot.
I even told my current vet, I was like, listen, I'm going to need you to promise me you're not moving away anytime soon.
You're not leaving the country.
I was like, because nobody's going to come see me ever again except for you. She's like, I'm not going anywhere. And she goes, and if I do take a vacation, I'll give you a phone number. for somebody to come to your house. I was like, okay, long as we're clear here that you're pretty much it for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a product that if you get it, you're not going to want your money back ever because it actually works. And this came up back on track as our sponsor today. This came up in the auditor Facebook page, the private page.
Glenn, it's so funny. I actually, all I wanted for Christmas was a back on track sheet for Norman. And so it was ordered and it's going to be an 84. And it's probably on the Christmas tree right now. And Chad
you can
is like,
cut it up and use it as a human blanket or a couple of them, actually. Right. So the question the listener posted, does anyone use Back on Track products for humans trying to decide if they're worth the cost? And I want to read some of the answers. One of the answers was Dr. Wendy swears by them. Of course, Wendy Ying of The Driving Show. And then one of our other listeners said, I noticed they do have a deal right now. If you buy a mattress pad, you get a free blanket. Here's another one. I use the elbow brace and love it. Would love to get the mattress pad. And here is another one. I did have excellent results with the Back on Track hock rack for my standard bred mare when she was 3/5 lame after my draft mare kicked her in the right hock. After $1,200 veterinary diagnostics and found nothing broken or torn, the Back on Track wrap had her moving normally within days. Even the vet was shocked. There you go. I thought the same thing. I was thinking about getting the t-shirt. They have a lot of human products. We hardly ever talk about it. I know that my horse really benefits from the saddle pad. Just wasn't sure how well the stuff works. And then it went on and on. People use the scarves and the socks and the shoulder wraps, everything on down the line. You know, that's one of the cool things about our auditor page is that they do have these conversations. But it's really gratifying for us that when we endorse a product and when we believe it works and tell you guys about it for years, that you would go out and use it and that you guys agree. So this feedback was great for us. But also for the listener finally ended up saying, well, I'm getting some money here at Christmas. I'm going to get that mattress pad. So
I was going to say too, I'm on backontrackproducts.com right now. There are some massive sales, like the holiday promos. If you buy, because the mattress pad sounds amazing. It's a mattress overlay. You put it on top of your mattress. They have all sizes. And can you imagine sleeping on a Back on Track? Oh my gosh, how cool. And if you buy it, it comes with a free Back on Track blanket. They've got horse products. They've got dog products. You know, they've got, somebody in my household may have the boxer briefs. I don't know. I'm just saying. they have I want lucky. I want to get lucky a dog bed. I think that'd be really neat.
Oh, for him, it would be great.
Yeah, they have
dogs
the,
like that.
Yeah, but they have the mesh sheet, and if you buy the mesh sheet, you get a free saddle pad. I mean, that's like $80 value. So right now, Back on Track Products is having their holiday promos. So go check it out, like sooner rather than later. I don't know how long they're going to
go. Well, you know what? With your size 84 that you're getting in, that for the horse you don't have anymore, you could cut that in half and have a blanket for you and Chad and Lucas.
Oh, don't you think I'm going to wrap myself up in that thing? I mean, my God, it's going to be like a wedding dress. It's going to drag 9 feet behind me with like a train.
Well, this is a morning where we can't get away from veterinarian talk. We can't get away from talks about all things health, apparently. It seems to be a thing. But you know what?
You're going to have to leave, Glenn.
I am. Let's play this.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we have Dr. Brian Waldridge on the phone from Lexington, Kentucky. And you can follow him on his Dr. B's Bluegrass Facebook page. And he has many adventures traveling around Lexington, taking care of all horses, famous and backyard horses. And so we welcome him to the show. Dr. Waldridge, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't wait to have
you
back on.
Wait a minute. Cut right there. You're talking about wounds. Dr. Waldridge, no offense, but I'll be back in about 20 minutes. Just let me know when you're done. Somebody can text me. I'm not so good at this stuff, so I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? The grosser and gorier you can make it, I love it. So bring it on. We're going to talk about wounds today. First of all, let's just catch up. How have you been?
Oh, been good. Been pretty busy. The weather here has been good for late fall in Kentucky, which has been really nice. So I've been getting to go to the track quite a bit and see a lot of horses, and that's been fun. Been a lot of news out of old friends, a lot of new horses that are pretty exciting. You know, horses heard about, seen on TV that are out there now, like Alphabet Soup's there. Touch Gold arrived yesterday, so and War Emblem's back from Japan. So it's been really fun to get to know those horses, those famous horses, and still get to see my friends and out in the field and get to see my old mare every now and then.
Now, Dr. Waldridge, of course, is the vet for Old Friends. And now I just read that Stephen Godeven is heading to Old Friends.
Yes, and that's going to be exciting, too. So we've taken in quite a few pretty famous stallions here in the last couple of months. So it's going to be great. And hope everybody comes up to see them.
That's so cool. I know Michael Blow and I don't know him personally, but he just always looks so darn happy when he's out there. And we've had him on the show and he's like, I can't believe I get to walk outside and see these amazing horses. So what's it like working for him?
Oh, he's just a great friend. And, you know, we go out there quite a bit. And back when I had more time, we used to do a local radio show here in town at the training center. And I did a vet segment there, and Michael's just, you know, his enthusiasm and the amount that he cares for his horses is amazing. And it spills over to everybody that works with him. You know, it's just a pleasure to work with him. You know, I feel so lucky to be able to work with those horses. You know, I could tell Michael, sometimes I go up to him and I feel like I should ask their permission to do something to them. They're so famous. But, I give you this vaccination, Mr. Silver Charm, but it's really a lot of fun.
Let me give you a shot of Bantamine. Please don't go out there. I like you forget how to do vet stuff because you're nervous working around these famous horses that mean so much to the people. Now, last time we talked to you, you were doing a pilot episode on your vet practice. Whatever happened?
Well, I haven't stopped believing. Still working at it. You know, the Facebook page continues to grow. It's really cool. You know, there's new people that are liking the page every week, and that's been really, and even people overseas. There's people from several foreign countries even to follow it. And so, but my new plan I've hatched is I'm going to get a GoPro camera, and I'm going to start trying to make some of my own little short episodes of, you know, going to old friends or going to see other horses on farms and things to keep it going. So still working at it, still trying.
That would be fantastic. I would love to see that. I mean, especially with, well, like Smarty Jones is coming back to Kentucky. You could go spend some time with Smarty or go see American Pharoah. I think that's really neat. I would definitely watch.
Well, thank you. I'm gonna keep trying. So that's going to be the new plan for 2016.
All right. If you can't do it, get somebody else to do it. You got to do it yourself. My God.
That's right. And cheap, so that's what I'm going to do.
Exactly. GoPro, baby. GoPro and YouTube. Here we go. Now, talk to us a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about wound care today. Why don't you get us started?
I think the biggest thing on wound care probably starts with, does it need stitches or not, if you look at a wound? And usually, if I'm on the phone with somebody who calls by the horse's cut, is, well, if you think it needs stitches, it probably does. You know, one nice thing now is with everybody having phones, is you can get a picture of a wound, and that's really helped, because I've been you know, hours away from a client, and they'll send me a picture, and I've looked at it, and said, oh, okay, well, that one's all right, let's do something different. But I think that's kind of the first decision, you know, when you look at a wound, and then how to keep that wound healthy, I think, is a big thing. And you know, you really can't go wrong with a bandage unless you put it on too tight, which most people don't do. And then trying to keep that wound happy and healthy with some type of antibiotic ointment. And really, just you can usually get it from your vet, the pound jar, or triple antibiotic ointment, or a Neosporin type ointment you just buy at the drugstore. It's really a nice ointment for that wound, because you have to keep it moist, keep those cells happy, because the way that wound heals, you know, it fills in, and it gets granulation tissue, which is just fibroblasts, which are cells that help to contract the wounds. Their job is to pull that wound closed, and then the little skin cells on the top, they have to literally crawl across the top of that wound, and that's how the wound heals. It contracts and then epithelializes. It covers itself back over, and the wound's going to do best in a moist environment because those cells are happier and they can move easier, and also an antibiotic helps to keep down the infection. So I think, you know, the two old principles, bandage it, keep it clean.
So now when you say bandage, I just remember my mama always saying, don't you bandage that. Don't put a Band-Aid on it because it needs air.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. What I have often done, especially if it's a wound that may be a little further up on the leg where you don't have to worry about it getting dirt or manure into it, I think it's okay to leave that bandage off for a couple hours. Just if nothing else, it kind of lets the circulation come back maybe a little better to that area that's been hurt. But I like to put a bandage at least the first couple of days, because another thing I think is really important is it's easier to prevent swelling, especially if it's a leg, than it is to get rid of it. If the horse gets hurt, may not be swollen yet, then you have a swollen leg the next day, it's harder for that bandage to squeeze that edema back out of the leg.
Okay, that was, somebody write that down. It's easier to prevent swelling than to get rid of it. Okay, see, that's very important, what you just said. So that needs to be on a t-shirt. Okay. So when you see, that's the kind of stuff you need to put on your show. That was genius. I've never heard that before. So when we are looking at our horse, it comes in from the pasture and it has a wound. What are some of the first things that we need to look at to assess it, to know whether we need to call the vet?
Yeah, I think making sure it's clean, you know, because oftentimes it's on a leg, it may have some dirt, and it's really hard to cause any problems to just take a hose or some water. Another thing you can do is just keep on hand or ask your vet for a bigger syringe, like a 30cc or a 60cc syringe. And if you put a 20-gauge needle on there, which they'll have, and they can give you two, and just squeeze water through that syringe, that'll have pretty good pressure. And that'll help to even wash off bacteria with that pressure to clean up that wound. So you want to clean it up first. Because sometimes they look really bad, and then you clean them up to see, well, get the blood and the dirt off and see the wound isn't that terrible. So getting them clean, I think, is the first step. Then trying
with
to
water.
Decide what structures are affected. You know, is it just literally just a skin wound, but not like a Monty Python skin wound, you know, when their legs cut
lost.
Off. So you want to make sure that...
one of the best movies ever made. I'm just going to throw that in there.
It's only a flesh wound. Like, no arms. Sorry.
Yeah, that was some vet humor. We've used that one before.
I bet. Is that required watching at vet school, that movie? Because it should be.
Well, you know, once I used to teach, you know, I taught at Auburn, and I decided once you had gotten a generation past the students, which is where I was when I left, they didn't understand any references to movies or to music or anything. So you had to use it in your own. This is a generational joke, which I still think is funny, but you'd say it to the students and you'd say, it's only a flash band. And they would just look at you funny. And you just had to walk away.
Well, we get it. We understand exactly what you're talking about.
You know, I'm dealing with the same thing. I have a bunch of 13-year-old girls that I teach riding lessons to, and they all board their horse here, and I'll say things, and they're like, they look at me sideways. I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, that movie's like a couple years old. That's it. Oh, I know the feeling. Okay, so back to the wound. We are cleaning it out to see if it's a flesh wound.
Yes.
So
I think that's a big thing. So a garden hose is fine. Or keep those syringes on hand. And that really helps quite a bit to clean those wounds up.
So then we've got this wound. It's clean. How do we assess whether we are going to need just to bandage it ourselves or leave it open? Or is there some like thing that you do to kind of, okay, is it this deep? Is it involved this? What do you do next?
Yeah, I think then you got to see where it is on the animal's body. If it's below the knee and below the hock, then it's hopefully just going to be skin. But back there, we have to worry about tendons and joints being open. So if it's in a close proximity to the tendons in the back of the leg or a deflector joint, then that's more worrisome. So it's probably, if they're there, more in your best interest to call the vet out to take a look, because you know, if you get a joint infection, those can be catastrophic, and they won't show up until a few days later. The horse won't become lame usually until that joint sealed itself back up and then increased pressure.
Does that sound familiar, Jamie?
I don't know what you're talking about, Glenn. Never had anything.
She just
like that
had one that had a puncture wound that wasn't that big and then turned into a bone infection. So she knows exactly what you're talking about there.
But see, the thing there is, Glenn, is I called the freaking vet, and it just was this very special, wonderful thoroughbred who had this like thing. It was a tiny. Seriously, Dr. B, it was like a quarter of an inch across the under the knee on the front of the cannon bone, and it just went up and up and up and up. I mean, we took x-rays of a probe in there, and I'm like, oh my God, so gross. It went all the way up and ended up being this bone infection, even though he was on two antibiotics even before it got to that phase. So sometimes it doesn't even matter if you get the vet out there. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Right. And then sometimes if it's a bad bacteria and it's deep into the tissues, then that favors anaerobes, which are bacteria that don't even grow in the presence of air. Air is actually toxic to them. And some of those can be pretty nasty bugs. And then we also have, you know, horses get MRSA like people do. It can spread it to humans, and humans can spread it to horses or horse to horse. And if we have MRSA in there, there's oftentimes very few antibiotics that'll get that. That's uncommon, but you know, it's always something to kind of keep in the back of your mind for especially a surgical incision or some of these wounds that don't heal, and kind of keep some pus, and maybe somebody that works at the barn's been to the hospital and brought back some MRSA.
Oh my gosh, just things I'm never going to sleep again. Okay, so do you have any good, juicy, big wound stories you want to share?
How did I know this was coming? But I just knew this was coming.
Yeah, I was hoping actually. two come to mind. The first one was really the first emergency I ever went on by myself. I worked in rural Georgia at the time, and it was Saturday night, which makes it even better. And I had to meet the folks at a feed store, follow them back through. In that area, there are a lot of logging roads, just sand roads that went back in the pine forest, and followed them back to where they lived. And I'll never forget, because all of them, they park, and I park, and I get out, and this cute little girl gets out of the truck right as I'm getting out of my truck, and she looks up at me, and she says, "Daddy's been drinking again." And I thought, what? And I thought, you know, that would make a really good George Jones song, but it's not what you want to hear when you get your truck.
Sorry.
And I said, okay. So then I get my stuff, and we go to try and find the foal we'd gotten in some barbed wire. So we go looking for him, and Daddy is back in the woods chasing the mare and the foal. And so all you can see is pine forest. And finally, Daddy emerges from the pine forest. And in one hand, he has his belt. He's been trying to loop that around the foal to bring it back. And his other hand, there's a pistol. Oh. And, you know, so his pants are falling off. And that was back, you know, early 90s. Hip hop was in its infancy. So nobody was really wearing their drawers above their pants yet. And you know, and I thought, you know, what's going on? And so I started talking to him. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, well, I think the foal's bleeding to death. And I'm trying to shoot it. But I can't get a clear shot. So, well, if he can run away, he's probably pretty healthy. So let's tell you what, let's put down the gun, go get a feed bucket and catch the mare, and then we'll sew up the foal. So that's what he does. And we bring the foal in the barn, and everything's going really good. And knock the foal down, start closing it up. And then, you know, it's Saturday night, so the neighbors from all around started showing up in lawn chairs, and they brought beer and coolers and sat around the circle. Which was really good because, you know, there was like a sober 13-year-old who helped hold down the foal while I sutured, and we got the foal done. Everything went fine, and it ended up being a really cool night. Just sat around another half hour and talked to them, and you know, just visited with it. Like the whole neighborhood came over.
This is your kinfolk, Jamie. This is your kinfolk.
Yeah, oh Lord, have mercy! You said rural Georgia. I'm like, oh God, I've been there.
You grew up near there. So it's like,
I won't name the town, but just outside of Columbus, Georgia.
My dad's been drinking again.
Said it wrong, though, because it's Diddy. Diddy's been drinking again.
Did the little polite, nice, sweet girl who has to grow up with that Diddy, did she happen to mention that he had a gun before you went out there?
No, that was a surprise. Oh. I learned that as he emerged from the forest. So that's the very first emergency call I went on, and
I was going to shoot it, but I couldn't get a clear shot because it's just running too damn fast.
It was just total pine forest, so it would have been tough, and I'm not sure his aim would have been all that good anyway. But, at that time,
yeah, I think the foal had a running chance there.
Yeah, the vet didn't have much chance. I know that, so that's why I had to calm him down.
God. Well, I want to hear another story. We're going to, if you have time, I got to hear another one of your stories.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the second one's not as good, but it's unusual. This is rural Alabama when I was back at Auburn that, we had to suture up a horse that fell through an ice cream truck. I guess the folks had an old like junkyard in their pasture, and, there was an old ice cream truck in there, and this horse had walked into the ice cream truck and fell through the bottom of the ice cream truck and cut up its leg. So we sewed that one up.
These things only happen in the South. And by the way, do they not let you into any place that's even close to like city or urban? You apparently get to go out to the middle of nowhere.
Back then we did, because it was pretty rural, you know, and you don't drive too far from Lexington, you get to a pretty rural area.
That's so true. That is true.
And I enjoy it. You know, those are my people. And I really, you know, I just love talking to people. And you know, I can, it's easy for me to explain things to them and talk to them and help them with problems they may have. So I really enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun.
Where are you from?
I'm from Bardstown, Kentucky, which is, about 60 miles west of Lexington, and it's also where my old Kentucky home is. So when you hear my old Kentucky home, that's an actual old plantation house that's only about 2 miles from where I grew up.
That is, that's rural, my friend.
That is. It's a little place. Well, it used to be a little place. It's still pretty little in good old Nelson County, Kentucky, where we're make more bourbon than anywhere else in the world. So that's another,
you know, where when I lived in Lexington, we used to go out to Washington County and go on trail rides, and man, that's rural.
Well, my mother's family's from Washington County, actually. So that's right. That's good. That's right next door.
Washington County. Now, where did you
Kentucky,
go to?
Everybody says they're from what county?
Yeah, exactly. Washington County. Where did you go to vet school?
I went to Auburn.
Auburn, okay. So I didn't know if you were from, you went to University of Georgia too, because I mean that where that is, it's very rural, and you've got a lot of rural Georgia places to go. Oh my gosh, I know. Well, let's see. Okay, before we let you go, let's wrap up this whole wound care thing. So we get it cleaned off and we decide where it is. We can take a picture of it now and we can send it to our vet. If you can't, you need a younger vet because they need to be with the technology to see these things. Anything else in closing that you would like us to know?
Well, you know, Proud Flesh is the next thing. Once we've got everything under control, is do we need to prevent, there is it an area that's more likely to get Proud Flesh. And so generally, if it's below the knee or below the hock, well, there's really only skin in that area. Those are the wounds that are most likely to get Proud Flesh. So once that wound kind of begins to heal, we have to watch for Proud Flesh, which is what we call it as exuberant granulation tissue. That means the blood vessels and the fibroblasts grow higher than the wound, than the skin margin. And once that happens, the little cells that crawl across the top, those skin cells, they can't crawl over that. Think of it like a mountain. They can't crawl over the mountain. And so that either needs to be trimmed back, or we can use steroids in our wound ointments. And steroids help to inhibit that. And bandages do to some degree, too. So if it's below the knee or below the hock, you need to watch for Proud Flesh, because it's easier also to head that off than it is to go back and trim that back and then sort of start over, although we'll have a good bed for that wound to heal, but watch for Proud Flesh in those lower leg wounds.
Now, this whole thing with my thoroughbred that got this cut below the knee, one of the things I was concerned about was the Proud Flesh, and my vet told me a couple different kind of normal household items to use to prevent it. So what do you recommend for Proud Flesh?
I usually just take Furosin ointment, I'll put in some dexamethasone, which is a steroid, and I'll put in some old wound stuff called scarlet oil, the red stuff that people have probably seen, and that'll help, the steroids will help to knock back the Proud Flesh, and the scarlet oil helps the epithelialization. You know, so you can use meat tenderizer. I think that works better when it's pretty small amounts of the Proud Flesh, because it has trypsin and things like that that actually our bodies produce to help digest protein. So that's how that works. That's probably the only other one I've ever used household remedy wise, or you can just trim it off the scalpel blade and then start over with a wound ointment.
Oh, the fact that just throwing meat tenderizer on your horse just seems wrong. That sounds like kind of rural Kentucky to me.
I actually have heard that one for years in rural Pennsylvania, too.
I'm sure. Well, Dr. B, as always, we've decided now that we think that you should have your own podcast. You know, come on here once a week and do a little 20-minute podcast talking to people. I think that Glenn needs to hire you and make you a part of the Horse Radio Network.
Oh, I'm happy to do anything. I'm going to start with some videos. I've got to get a new computer too. My computer's so old that it's not even supported by Microsoft anymore. So I'm gonna get started up first of the year. And
when you start doing those videos, you let us know and we'll post them. Okay.
That'll be awesome. I sure appreciate you guys interviewing me and helping me get the word out, because I sure have a lot of fun doing what I do.
It's obvious, and we appreciate you coming on and giving your expertise, and we hope to talk to you again real soon.
Merry Christmas, Dr. B.
Oh, I sure will. You too. You guys too. Have a good Christmas.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I love that guy. He has such a dry sense of humor.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's
my daddy's been drinking again. Jennifer, you need to cut that out. We need to have that as a sound file for next year.
Yeah.
Daddy's
been drinking again. Yeah,
daddy's
that was
been
awesome.
Drinking again.
That's our quote of the month right there.
So great.
He caught me off guard with that one. And then daddy has a gun. Of course he does. He's in rural Georgia. He's going
to. So great. So great. Well, fantastic.
Let's talk quickly about Mill Creek Spreaders. We'll play a song, and then we got some stories here we have to talk about. One in particular that you thought your blood was boiling earlier. Wait till I talk about you about this. I got to ask you about this one. And also the cast of Star Wars. I am so excited about Star Wars. I bought my tickets for
Did
Saturday.
You really?
get this, 3D IMAX. How else would you see Star Wars? I paid the extra bucks for that.
Good job.
Yes, I did. I paid the extra bucks for that. We're definitely going. But there was something that Fallon did on The Tonight Show that I want to share with everybody that was really, really cool. But first, we have to talk about Mill Creek Spreaders because they are the finest manure spreaders in the country, in the world, actually. And you can go to millcreekspreaders.com and see all the details there. They're having a December sale right now. Use the coupon code HOLIDAY15, and they have all kinds of discounts on various size spreaders. You know, we had spreaders for years, and I wish we had had a Mill Creek. Because ours never worked right. The chain was always breaking. The thing was rusting out. I had to replace the floor. And oh, by the way, there's nothing more disgusting than replacing a floor on a spreader that is about 80 years old and has had manure on it constantly for about 80 years. It is really a disgusting thing to do. But you don't have to worry about that with Mill Creek spreaders because they last a lifetime, especially their stainless steel spreaders. There's no rusting. Everything on it's stainless steel. You don't have to worry about things rusting through. The paddle's not working anymore. The chain breaking and because it's rusted out. You can tell I've been down this road before. It was one of my first experiences.
you're an angry horse husband, aren't you?
It was one of my first experiences when we had the farm and I met Jennifer. I come over there and she had this ancient manure spreader. Must have been 100 years old. And you know what? About 80% of the time it works. But let me tell you what. The 20% of the time a manure spreader doesn't work, suck.
You don't know it till it's filled up.
Oh, and it always happens in the winter when it's one big ice cube of poop. And then you have to get a chisel out to get the poop out to figure out why it's not. Oh, what a nightmare.
Well, listen here. The holiday sale, it goes on till the 24th, till Christmas Eve. Promo code HOLIDAY15. $100 off mini spreaders, $200 off compact spreaders, $300 off mid-size spreaders, and $400 off the full-size ones. So if you're in the market, now's the time.
And you know, the other thing I think people don't realize is they think you need a big tractor for a spreader. You can pull one of their smaller spreaders, the 2 to 4 horse size, with a lawnmower. I mean, you can pull it with a riding garden tractor or a gator or, you know, bobcat, yeah, something like that. So they're just ground driven. They work really well. Yeah. So check them out. MillCreekSpreaders.com, the finest name in spreaders in the United States. We're going to take a break for our song. I had a request here today. Actually, I have two songs for you today, and then we'll be coming back. The first one, I had a request by a lady by the name of Sue from Alabama, who I don't think was Dr. B's client. I think this is a different one. She said that she wanted to hear the song from Really Bad Ads and was wondering what that was. You know our intro to Really Bad Ads?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a song by Dan Roberts called Horse Tradin'. So I'm going to play that one for you. And then it's going to be followed up with a little Christmas song we haven't played this year. It's kind of funny. It's called North Pole Rodeo by Bren Hill. We'll be back after this.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading. Well, looky here, boys, I got a pretty good rig. He's got a working trot and a short jig. He come off of the ranch where he's born and bred. The last of his blood, that old stud's dead. He's a little bit nervous inside the ring. Kids out back and ride him with a string. Of course, now his feet needs trimming. Yeah, it looks to me like he's been foundered. Well, you seen that big skeeter bite on his neck? Yeah, they probably aced him. He's a little fresh. We ain't rode him much lately. Yeah, 8 seconds or less. He's got a pretty little head. Yeah, if you don't mind the looks of an ironing board. They say they just wormed him. Yeah, now you're trying to worm me. Well, they say you can ride him with any kind of bit. Yeah, as long as you wire his mouth shut. They say they showed him NCHA. Yeah, which means not coming home again. Or was it AQHA? Yeah, which means apt to quit hauling around.
Horse trading, well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading. Well, looky here, boys, here's one of a kind. He's as right as rain. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'll make you a price, he's worth every penny. I wouldn't even sell him, but I got too many. He's King Ranch, Wagner, Doc Bar bread. They tell me he's smarter than Mr. Ed. I tell you one thing, he's a good rope horse. Yeah, that's how you have to catch him. Well, he'll jump right in your trailer. Well, that's good, because I seen him jump out of yours. Now, he's got all the wind in the world. Yeah, it's just coming out the wrong end. He's good at opening gates. Yeah, you brush up against one, he kicks it right open. Well, they say he runs AAA. Yeah, which means always awkward and aimless. Well, looks like he's got a little Arab blood in him. I don't believe I'd have told that one. Now, I'd say he'd be a good cutting prospect. I believe that's the first thing I'd do to him. They say they showed him NRHA. Yeah, which means never really had ability.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. It's a horse trading.
Come on now, you wear out a new truck trying to find a better deal than this. Ah, don't lose him over a few dollars. If it's not just like I said, you don't own him. I guarantee him, gentlemen.
It's a cold, cold place, 6 months till dawn. Toes are all delivered, Christmas is gone. There ain't much to do, 36 below. But saddle up the reindeer and have a rodeo. Shake the holiday blues wearing cowboy boots and faded denim tights. Watch Rudolph, Buck, and Elf to ride through the northern lights. And there ain't no better show than an arena made of snow. Santa's North Pole Rodeo. Here they go. Yodelay, yodelay. Seen bareback ride, you've seen an elf on a polar bear's backside. I tried to toss a loop round a slick wet seal, or hog tie a narwhal, man, that's a slippery deal. You shake the holiday blues wearing cowboy boots and faded denim tights. I watch Rudolph, Buck, and Elf for two ride through Northern Lights. And there ain't no better show in an arena made of snow. Santa's North Pole Rodeo. One more time. Yodelay, 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 yodelay.
Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We wanted to remind everybody that Really Bad Ads, the last one for the year, is this Friday. You need to get your ads in to be qualified for the big drawing for the EquityMFG.com Shake and Fork. Everybody that submitted an ad this year will be put in a pile, and we'll draw a name, and we'll find out who the winner, and somebody's going to have a very good Christmas coming up next week. Believe it or not.
Chad said that to me last night. He goes, oh my God, Christmas is next week. And I was like, I know, it's kind of exciting. He's like, I got to go. And he went back to the computer.
Yeah, Jennifer and I just realized, too, that we haven't done any shopping yet this year, so yeah, it's time. Hey, do you want to hear the Georgina Bloomberg story that's going to... I don't know what it's going to, how you're going to feel about it, or the cast of Star Wars singing the theme on tonight's show?
Gosh, do I really want to get all brought up? Let's go Star Wars.
Okay, so this is the cast on Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and the Roots. And it's a lot of the cast. They filmed them all individually and put them in little boxes, you know, Brady Bunch style. And it is a very good video. Maybe Jennifer could post a link to the video then on our Facebook page. But this is them doing the theme.
The theme of Star Wars.
Yeah. So excited. Got the tickets. Jimmy. These are all the stormtroopers.
Professionals, these are the actors.
Yeah, and some of the Roots. His band.
Yeah, I know.
But they were all filmed individually. Isn't that good?
Wow. That was amazing.
Gave me goosebumps. And that took a lot of editing work. They were all in little tiny blocks, you know, and they kept adding them in and out, and they were looking at each other. It was very well done. This video was very well done. I got to say, Fallon's growing on us. We've been watching it a lot now, thanks to you.
Chad and I had to take a break because he's continually making fun of the Republican candidates and stuff, and he never rips on
Hillary,
the Democrats.
Yeah, no.
So we're like, at least be fair, you know? So
We tend to do? We tend to, sometimes we even skip over the monologue and go to the guests.
Oh, yeah.
And I love his bits. His bits are Johnny Carson. Like bits from years ago. He really is kind of retro on his bits, and I really do like his bits. But
yeah, I like that. And then he did the Adele song "Hello" with the Roots.
Yes.
And did you see that one? They all sit there and play like just crazy little tiny musical instruments. I started crying. It was so beautiful. Like, I had never cried on the original song. Watching her sing it like right in front of the camera with the people, it was just amazing. So check that out if you haven't seen it. Now, I have a funny news story for you.
Okay, then I'm going to do the Georgina story because I have to get it out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
In North Yorkshire, England, officers arrived at a scene because there was tons of reports of a Shetland pony on the loose. In Northern England, okay? Shetland pony on the loose. Busy road. Got to get the Shetland pony corralled and back. And you remember the story we have where the police officer put the mini in his car.
Yes.
You know, and drove him in Oklahoma. So Shetland pony on the loose. Yorkshire officers arrive at the scene. Here's this horse that's loose. Get it. It was a St. Bernard. It's a big old St. Bernard, but they tweeted reports of a Shetland pony on A59. Turns out to be Ramsey, the St. Bernard. He has been returned safe. Like, they didn't have just one person say it was a Shetland pony. They had tons of calls. So they received lots of reports of the Shetland ponies. So not one person thought it was a dog. And I'm sorry, like, physically, color-wise and size-wise, maybe a Shetland pony looks like a dog. But there's the whole neck and head thing that a St. Bernard doesn't have. So I don't know. Somebody was drinking in Northern England. Several people were, I guess. Daddy's been drinking again.
Daddy's been drinking again. God, you have to cut that out, Jennifer. We're going to get a lot of use out of that. Hey, all right, I'll give you a choice. We can do the Georgina Bloomberg and then you're going to get all mad story, or I actually have put together the December edition of Study Show.
I've got a Christmas survey for you.
Oh, go. Yeah.
So this is a festive survey of more than 200 pet owners, okay?
Yep.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? No, don't go outside. It's too cold. You're naked. Excuse me. Thanks, Mother's
Day. Can you cut that out too, Jennifer, with just that
last? Yes, I will. It's too cold, you're naked.
It's too cold, you're naked.
So 200, more than 200 pet owners were surveyed, and this actually is in England, too, in Great Britain, but almost 7 out of 10 owners of pets, 7 out of 10, sign their Christmas cards also with their pets' names. Do you guys do that?
No, because too many pets.
I
usually.
Do.
Yeah, Jennifer.
When I
does.
Do the Christmas cards, the pets sign.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I mean, and Christmas cards and
I think
all
if
that
you have one dog or one dog and one cat, that's easier than if you have 12 animals.
No, I have always signed everybody's name.
Really?
Like, since I was a kid, I would write a letter to somebody and sign it, you know, from Jamie and Lucas and Chad and Zenyatta and Danny and Lucky and Thor and on and on and Chili and always. And I usually would draw a little picture of each of them too, a little stick figure. more than half of pets have their very own Christmas stocking.
Well, yes, and we do that.
Yeah, we do this. Somebody just sent me a Basset Hound Christmas stocking that they made. And that name, somebody that donated to his cause. More than a third of people have a special pet safe advent calendar. I don't know.
No.
I don't do the advent calendar. Almost a third of owners buying presents will be spending about $25 to $40 on their pet.
Yes, guilty. We don't have kids, really? So we have to buy our pets presents. You know, it's a thing.
6% spend more than $75.
No, we're not that high.
Okay.
I think
so you're
we're
just
in that first group. Yes.
An average Sheller order.
Yes.
3 out of 10 pets will receive a Christmas card.
The pet will. No, we don't. No. You know what? I think if Glory had a choice, a big dog bone or a Christmas card, she wants the chewy bone.
Gotcha. Yeah, Lucky received a Christmas present, the stocking and the card. So, I don't know. I mean, it's like I don't exist. It's funny. I get presents in the mail come for Lucas or Lucky. 16% of owners polled have their pets pictured on their Christmas cards.
Oh, yeah, I believe. I could surprise that one's not higher. Because you always see the families with the dogs at the Santa, right?
Did you guys get my Christmas card?
Yes, we did. Yes, okay. We did.
Yes, that is definitely a pet on the Christmas card.
It's definitely a pet.
More than a third, 35% of pet owners buying presents, okay? 35% of pet owners buying presents spend more on their pets than on their siblings.
I believe that. Because, you know, when you get to a certain age, you don't just stop buying gifts for your siblings or you try to stop. You know, we made a deal when we all got to be like 18 that we weren't buying presents for each other anymore.
Really?
Yeah. So I think that's partly where that comes from. Do you still buy presents for your siblings? Well, you have twin brother, too.
I just have two brothers, and we all get each other something really nice. And I don't even think we call each other on our birthdays. And seriously, mine is my twin brother. Like, we don't, don't exist the rest of the year, but we really get in for Christmas. Let's see. 25% of people spend more on their pets than their parents.
Yeah, I believe that too.
Well, considering like all of my Christmas presents centered around items for Norman,
Yeah.
Like, I wanted more spent on my pet than me, my parents.
I just did an article on horse husbands about the approved gifts for horse husbands to get their wives, and it was all like hay, round bales, blankets for your horse, blankets for her horse. I everything was like that.
Yeah.
So if you count that in the horse world, it's 90% of gifts given are for the horses.
This could be a depressing ass Christmas. I have everything under the tree that I asked for is for Norman. Son of a bitch. God, at least I'm getting my money back from the
bank. Have you heard of regifting?
Who wants size 84? Like, there's like ridiculous.
And a halter that you could fit two ponies in.
A draft horse size halter that says his name on it. God. Okay. Next, moving on. 7% of people spend more on their pets than their children. I believe that because
they're all 65 and love that dog. Yeah. They all love that poodle. That's exactly what it is.
They didn't say.
I believe there was a time when my mom and dad spent more on their schnauzers than us. I believe
that. Serious?
Oh, Jennifer, will you back me up on that one, please?
Well, they certainly spent more time with the schnauzers.
Yes. You know, since my mom and dad has those schnauzers, and I apologize to the schnauzer community because I'm sure you're not all this way, but oh my God, we could not look at a schnauzer again after they died. Every time I see a schnauzer, I cringe.
You were ruined.
I was ruined by my mom and dad for schnauzers forever.
Oh my God, my mom and her damn Yorkie. Holy cow. You think that is like... Oh, ridiculous. She's the one who was like, I need to get her to have a service pet badge. And I'm like, you can't buy those online, Mom.
Yes, she can, actually.
You can't. They're a scam. I was like, please don't pass your dog.
I think
off
it's a scam. It is a scam. But yes, they do buy them online. And you see some of these dogs walking around with them and you're going, that ain't no service dog.
Mom, I swear you don't need to have your dog on your flight. Well, she calms me. I'm like, there's nothing calming about your Yorkie. I'll call my mom and I'm talking to her on the phone and all you hear is that effing dog barking nonstop.
Stop. That's the same way it was with the schnauzers. Why do you think we own a greyhound that doesn't bark? We were traumatized.
My God, there's nothing calming about a Yorkie. Sorry.
And we apologize to the Yorkie and the schnauzer community.
Those people don't have horses, so they're not listening. Or Yorkie people, anyway. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. The final one is 3% of owners. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. 3% of owners said their pets are going to be writing a letter to Santa. Oh, Lord.
That might be over the top.
3%. But that happens, like, out of the 200, more than 200
Don't they have lives and jobs? I don't have time to help my pet write a letter to Santa.
Oh, my God. This is funny. Okay, so there's your Christmas survey.
Jennifer, you're not over there helping the cat write a letter to Santa, are you? Just checking.
No, the cat does not have a set of crayons. No, okay. I did not give the crayons
Good, because
to
he'd eat them and puke them everywhere, because that's what our cat does. That's his job. Can you tell we're having a bad cat week, by the way?
Yeah, that sucks. Hey, by the way, I just want to let you know that exactly 4 years ago today, we were in Norco.
Really?
Yep.
God, that seems like longer than that, actually, since we were in Norco. You know what? I'm looking at the Celebrity Marshall banner from Norco. So that was 4 years ago today.
Four years ago. I love Facebook memories.
It does pop up stuff you forgot about, right? You haven't thought about in 4 years. Repost that one. That's cool. Was it a picture of us?
Yeah, in our pajamas.
Oh, yes, we did the one pajama. We did. They thought we were nuts, too. So let's retell that story quick. We went to Norco, California. They invited us out. They brought us out. They were so nice. And we did the live show. That's when we were 5 days a week. That was pre-child. And we did the live show there every morning and from different places around the town of Norco, California, Horsetown, USA. They took us on trail rides, showed us all around the town. It was so cool. And then that Friday, we had to do the show from the hotel. I forget which hotel it was, but we had to do the show from the hotel, and they had booked a conference room for us. So we set up in the conference room, and we decided it was so early because it's 6 a.m. there doing the show.
Shocker. Yeah. It's early doing
So we decided to do it in our pajamas. But if you remember, right, the mayor of town came out and a whole bunch of dignitaries were there that morning. And some of them came in their pajamas. So it was pretty cool. We were all there in our pajamas doing the show at 6 a.m. in this conference room in Norco. And I think they all thought we were a little nuts. But then we were Saturday. You had to leave, but Jennifer and I were represented the show. We were the grand marshals in the Norco Christmas parade, in a carriage in the parade. So that was a lot of fun. Still have that banner hanging on my wall.
Very neat. Well, there you go. That's your memory. All right, give us this. Are we out of time?
Yeah, we're just about out of time.
Yes.
So, all right. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with the trail riding episode from the NATRC, and then. You know, Friday, really bad ads. Last one of the year. Get your ads in, and we'll have probably Joseph, maybe his wife, both from EquityMFG.com coming on the show, and we'll find out who the big winner is.
Just so you know, I practiced what I preach. Danny got spayed yesterday.
Oh,
so,
did he?
Yeah. Oh, so good. Spay, neuter, geld. There you go. She got spayed.
She got spayed. Yes. Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning.
All right. Peace and love.
How'd that come from?
Needed something happy and uplifting after this Pharaoh nonsense.